It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. The Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes, and the Lightning is on the radio. Time to get behind the headlines with Bill Moss. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to another edition of Lightning Radio here on the Q.
Good Thursday morning, and happy to be back. Happy to be back.
Yes, sir. Bill, let's continue a story, something that every, lots of people are talking about, and that is the big boom. The big boom, let's call it Big Boom Part 2. We're looking at something like 2,400 dwellings in the pipeline to be opened in the next number of years here in Henderson County. And you have been doing a fantastic story on all of these dwellings and the timelines and everything. So let's get to part two on Big Boom.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. We probably will start at. We can start at the moose at the table, right? Which is okay. Lightning, you're reporting about 2,400 dwellings in and around Hendersonville and 4,000 total.
Wow.
Or probably a little bit more, between 4,000 and 5,000 countywide, Mills River, Fletcher.
Oh wow.
And so on. But what about this recession we keep hearing about? What about the interest rates? What about inflation? What about supply chain? So to be sure, that's a couple pretty large asterisks to put on the story.
Right.
We've been reporting this pretty much all year, so... then we had an election to get intervene. And so anyway, we got it. We're good. We're glad we got it published and got it behind us. And one of the points we make is that if there is a recession, it's going to probably be more like a timeout of a year or two or three. It's not going to be the final horn of the game. All of these permitted condos, single family dwellings, apartments, townhomes could. They're approved now. They're platted and approved. So the growth is not going to stop, even if the recession temporarily does quell the construction market.
So let me just make sure I have this right, because I had my number wrong. Around 4,000 dwellings
in Henderson
County, and they're all approved.
Correct. That's absolutely right. So everything from a family has a two-acre parcel. They want to make a family compound of it, and they want to subdivide that. This this counts that. I think that number was around 1,800. We'll get to that in a minute. And subdividing that into two lots, three lots, four lots, whatever.
Okay.
Taproot Dairy, which is 699 homes and townhomes.
And Taproot Dairy, I was just talking with a real estate guy about this just yesterday. That's the huge one that we see off of 26, right?
It is. It's on Butler Bridge Road.
Butler Bridge Road.
Yeah, I think it's close enough to see from.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not talking about on Clear Creek, though, are you?
Oh, no.
No, that's Clear Creek. And that's D.R. Horton. Actually, now that you mention it.
Whew, sorry.
Same owner, though.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute.
But Taproot's the one that the airport was going up against because they're going to be right in the flight
they
lines.
They say it's in the flight path, but that's the Johnson family. They were the fourth generation Bradley Johnson with the dairy and
yeah.
the ice cream and
yeah.
and the buttermilk and the fresh milk. He's the last Johnson going back to the original Samuel Johnson that had some of the Biltmore herd
yeah.
and brought it over here in the... either late 1800s or early 1900s. We did a story about this a while ago.
Yeah, I remember.
They're down to the last, the latest of the Sams is the fifth, I think. Hmm. There's a Samuel, whatever initial is, Samuel E. or whatever, Johnson, and they're down to the fifth. That's the Johnson family with Billy that was on the Mills River Town Council mm-hmm. and Mary Louise Corn,
yep.
Who is the sister among that. So I get sidetracked on all that. The 2,400 dwellings that you mentioned and you spot in the lead of the story
right.
is in Hendersonville.
Right, that's the city.
Either in the city, but most of it on the outskirts, either annexed or soon to be annexed. It must be annexed in order to get sewer, and they all need sewer. So we asked city council, we get this question a lot, are you holding the public officials to account on how they're going to accommodate this growth with infrastructure, water, sewer,
roads?
Roads, especially playgrounds. So we asked Jerry Smith, a council member who has a little bit of a mixed record, you might say, of voting. He votes against a lot of these high density projects, has voted yes on others as well. So we asked him, is water in good shape? Jerry Smith said, sewer, check. The city has a long range plan to spend tens of millions of dollars on sewer and water expansion for that matter. They put in, I think they have that emergency backup water line from the French Broad
right.
River
yep.
to the city.
Yep.
So that's pretty well taken care of. How about the roads? Can the roads hold hundreds more cars? And Jerry Smith says he can, but will those cars be able to move anywhere on Dana Road, on Tracy Grove Road, on Four Seasons Boulevard, on Clear Creek, North Main? That, Jerry Smith says, remains to be seen. But there's more traffic on the way, probably a lot more traffic.
Uh-huh.
And I guess our community is going to have to be prepared for that. Normally, the traffic has been in the summers. We've all noticed this when it's high season for tourists. But I think traffic is going to increase year-round. I don't know any way to avoid that. So the Lightning has more reporting on that subject with Jerry Smith talking about how the council has talked about a possible road bond issue to prime the pump, maybe to go to NCDOT and say, okay, if we spend this much or put up this much money for North Main, the Duncan Hill Triangle, Signal Hill, that's going to be the scene of a lot of development, will you accelerate your project? No one knows if that would actually happen that way, but that would be the hope of the council.
And that's just the city council. That's just in the city.
This is just
we still got to deal with the county and yep. county roads also.
Well, yeah. One of the things, though, that was really enlightening to me, you know, once you actually ask for the numbers and you get them and you start looking at the facts, is how much of the growth, it really is concentrated in Hendersonville. We
okay.
haven't seen the last really big project, subdivision or condo or apartment project we've seen out in the county was Taproot, and that was 2019.
Right.
So that the boom is really right here. It's Hendersonville-centric, and
okay.
again, why? Because of utilities, because of the need for water and sewer. And here's where we also mention, while it may be true, as a saying goes, that economists have predicted 9 of the last 3 recessions, there's no denying the mounting evidence of a slowdown. Supply chain issues and labor shortages are already slowing the pace of home construction. Rising interest rates and inflation only add to the uncertain outlook. But as we say, if a recession were to come, more likely to be a timeout for rapid growth, then game over.
And don't we tend to be in a market that is the last to feel it and the first to come out of it to a certain degree, simply because of the makeup of this market?
Yeah, I like to say more recession-resistant than recession-proof.
Yeah.
But recession-resistant because of the retiree market, because of that we do have many good manufacturing jobs,
yeah.
We do have lots of move-ins, and as we've been saying in this space a lot over the last, in the context of lots of growth stories, is folks, the pandemic made people, employees, employers, and companies realize that graphic designer, that code writer, that video game developer can work right out of their house in Etowah,
yeah,
or Mills River,
uh-huh.
Flat Rock, or Hendersonville.
Yep, and send their work into the big city.
A few more numbers, Mark,
yeah.
If you don't mind.
Please.
Before we leave, since 2018, Henderson County has approved subdivision requests totaling 1,836 residential lots. Again, those can be very scattered with the exception of Taproot. Let's talk about that. Those 699 homes, developer is D.R. Horton, bills itself as the nation's largest home builder, from Dallas, Texas. It is building, here's the ones you can see, that looks like scorched earth where they've cleared it.
Off of I-26.
Combs, home wood, studs are starting to come out of the ground at Cantrell Hills. I think that's the subdivision on the left if you're going,
uh-huh.
leaving town, going out in the country. And the towns at Stonecrest, apartments or condos on the right. That's coming up out of the ground. And so we wanted to check on Taproot, whether that was still alive or maybe was that going to be stalled. But Horton did close on D.R. Horton closed on 289 acres of the former dairy land from the Johnson family last October for $15.5 million. So they're not going to leave that on the table and not do it. So
right. That's coming.
Market stay strong. or if there is a timeout and it comes back, that'll be happening.
Will teachers or law enforcement or firemen or service people be able to afford any of these apartments or homes?
No. We have, with the exception of the, there's one private development that says there it'll have some mix of workforce housing, and there are three developments competing for tax credit financing from the North Carolina Housing Agency. Only one, at the most, only one of those will be approved.
At some point, there's a tipping point. At some point, there will be enough apartments and condos available for rent that they're going to have to start dropping prices so people will live in them. Right?
Yeah, correct. If inventory, if there is an adequate supply, and there's not now, but if there was enough inventory, that will tend to not depress the price necessarily,
right,
but stop the rapid inflationary acceleration of that pricing.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. Bill, can we talk about just very quickly before we get off this the graphic that you have here? Of course, this is a staple of the Lightning. So tell us about this colored graphic that you have here.
Credit and kudos to Hendersonville Department of Community Development and Tyler Morrow in particular, who I think is the keeper and the maker and the keeper and the updater of this chart.
Uh-huh.
So we go back to 2019. That's the first ones we just talked about. Towns at Stonecrest and Cantrell Hills,
yep,
at 825 Clear Creek Road. That's 2019. All the way through Hawkins Point and this year we've talked about, and Apple Ridge. Those are those tax credit financing projects. So it shows what year was their zoning application, what's the address of the development, how many acres, and how many units. You can check that out. It's color-coded. It's really a neat graphic here on page 3.
Right, and to be able to see just how many units some of these will be.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like this water leaf at Flat Rock over here on South Allen Road, yep, and College Drive, 263 units.
Sure, yeah. Universal at Lakewood, 291 units. That big development overlooking the swamp and next to Jackson Park in the old Bo Thomas property.
Right.
461 units. So Duncan Terrace, people can see that's been cleared now. Site prep is underway there for 132 units at North Main at Signal Hill and Duncan Hill Road.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, thank you for this chart. Before we go to our break, let's stay on real estate. And you've got a story here about, again, the seller's market that we're having right now, at least.
Right now, at least. Still true. And in last week's story, Steve Dozier in particular said, look, don't look for a crash a la October of 2008. Yes, there's going to be a slowdown. This really super overheated housing price inflation is going to level off. So he says it's not in the near-term future for us. But this is with David Noyes, who's president-elect of the local Board of Realtors.
Yep.
I won't go through the whole thing because we pretty much touched on it. But the market is great if you're a seller. It's difficult if you're a buyer. We've shot so high as far as prices go. And David was the one that we quoted last week saying, okay, I'll tell you where we are. You're on the highway, and all the cars are driving 100 miles an hour. The speed limit is 65, and the cars are driving 100 miles an hour. We're not back down to the speed limit, but we're now 80 miles an hour.
I was talking to a real estate guy just yesterday who was talking about the fact that you're still getting, if you've priced your house correctly, you're still getting multiple offers. Maybe not 8 to 9, but you're still getting multiple offers. It's not quite as hot as it was a few months ago.
Yeah, I think we had that last week. We had Steve saying what the inflation was in 2020. It was it 15 or so? And he's still looking at, he thinks through like maybe a 9% increase next year.
Yeah.
So you're not seeing it go down, that's for sure.
Right, absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Lightning Radio here on The Cue. We'll be back in just a moment.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family-owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background, paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto, to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
Tomato Day is almost here at Hendersonville Farmers Market. On Saturday, August 6th, the market will offer free tomato sandwiches made with Henderson County tomatoes. Don't miss heirloom tomato tasting with local tomato enthusiast, NC Tomato Man. Vote for your favorite tomato in the Tomato Beauty Pageant. Tomato Day will also feature all the regular vendors and excitement of a typical market day, including over 40 local vendors, a cooking demo, and kids' activities. Hendersonville Farmers Market at the Train Depot on Maple Street in downtown Hendersonville. Every Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Mike's on Main, the original Main Street breakfast spot, is open for business to serve you. Are you craving bacon and eggs, pancakes, sausage gravy and biscuits, a fluffy omelet, or maybe a breakfast sandwich or a hot, steamy bowl of oatmeal? Mike's on Main has it all. Mike's is also open for lunch with favorites like BLTs, grilled pimento cheese, and their famous Reuben. Open Monday through Saturday. Hours vary, so please call ahead. Visit Mike's on Main at the corner of 3rd and Main. Indoor and outdoor seating available, weather permitting.
And we are back. Sorry for the dead air there. We were just admiring the photo on the front page of the Hendersonville Lightning, so you got to pick up your copy of the Lightning. Bill, let's get back to getting behind the headlines. We touched on this last week, but this is a big story, and I think we'll be talking about this a lot in the coming weeks slash months slash years. The Saluda grade. Maybe a new greenway coming. It's really looking good that it's going to be a new rails to trails.
Yeah, touched on project. This last week, but this is more on the ground reporting that the Lightning did on Friday and Saturday. Went down there to talk to our friends and down in Saluda and excuse me, make some pictures and come to the realization that Saluda is known for its historic downtown, old timey general store, and steep railroad grade, but what the town atop the Blue Ridge Escarpment lacks is manufacturing jobs, or in fact, many jobs at all, besides those related to retail, dining, and tourism. They got nice restaurants out there. It's a great town to go to the Pace General Store, or to visit Ward's Grill, or to go to Purple Onion or or get an ice cream cone.
Sorry, but if you have not had the sage sausage at Ward's Grill, you have no idea what you are missing.
Pick some of that up, for sure. Yep, pick some of that up.
Uh-huh.
And so we say this may be the one time when it's a good time to say it's all downhill from here.
Right.
So the hope is now what are we really talking about? Because last week these three conservancies, Hendersonville-based Conserving Carolina, something called PAL, which is Play, Advocate, Live Well from South Carolina, and also Upstate Forever, put out this news release that they are working on this 26-mile greenway from Inman, South Carolina, to the Saluda grade. No, I'm sorry, to Zirconia,
right,
which is the end of the Southern Railroad, Norfolk Southern track.
Uh-huh.
Now, we have reporting here, like we say, on-the-ground reporting. Steve Orr, the town manager of Saluda, is all for it and says the town council and most businesses are for it. But he's concerned about that gap. He seems to think, this is what he says, this section here, he means from Saluda to Hendersonville, is almost level. That's what people really don't understand, because the hard part is just 200 yards out there. He means going down the Saluda grade. Our push is, if we're going to phase this thing, we want the first phase to be Hendersonville to Saluda. And they work from South Carolina up. It's kind of like it was with Transcontinental Railroad.
Right.
Come from the east, come from the west, and what do then?
You try to meet in the middle.
And you drive that golden spike in the ground, right?
Right.
Well, we got a long way to go before the golden spike happens. Got to raise something like $60 million. But there's a good head start with $5 million appropriation mm-hmm. from the South Carolina legislature. Maybe the North Carolina legislature will get jealous about that and mm-hmm. react and pour some money into it. There'll be the same drill as it has been with the Acosta Trail. They will seek funding from the federal funding in addition to both state legislatures, let's say. There's a fair amount of money through the Federal Highway Administration, something called Surface Transportation Block Grants, STBGs. They'll be looking for those block grants to underwrite the construction cost as well. And then there'll be the conservancies will try to raise money. I'm sure something will be created called the Friends of Saluda Grade, just like the
right.
Friends of Acosta Trail have been working for 11 years to get that on the way. And guess what? It worked. It's coming.
Absolutely it is. How far out do you think we are on something here, Bill?
Oh, Lord. A long way.
Yeah.
A long way. Because they with this news release last week, I don't think they would have put it out if they weren't pretty close to consummating the purchase of the rail line.
Yeah.
We understand that's the first thing. I would say we would be a couple years out at least
sure.
in terms of breaking ground on some construction. You got to buy the line. You got to pull up the tracks.
Yep.
And then
on that grade,
and then you got to do a year and a half to 2 years of engineering and design and environmental studies before you first stick that shovel in the ground.
Yeah, it's exciting to think about. Here's my question: what happens in between Zirconia and Hendersonville?
Well.
You know what I'm at? You understand where I'm coming from? Because this goes to Zirconia.
Oh, absolutely. That's the gap. That's problematic because that's the gap. See, they got to go back. I'm talking about advocates. They'll have to go back to Watco doing uh-huh. business as Blue Ridge Railroad, the short line freight operator that bought the tracks from Norfolk Southern back many years ago. They got to go back to Watco and say, you're not using it. Reckon you sell that Zirconia to Hendersonville line to us once again.
Yeah.
And what that's not even known. You make a good point. Who is that then? Is that the Friends of Acosta Trail and Henderson County, or is that part of Saluda Grade?
Or is this the Friends of Let's Connect Zirconia to Hendersonville?
Exactly. Is it the Friends of Rail to Trails?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how all that comes through. And I know somebody who will be on that story, and I'm looking at him, and I'm listening to him. Let's go to this week's Ask Matt.
Yeah, this is a fun one. It doesn't directly shine a light on growth, but it kind of does whenever you have growth that builds a large parking lot. And a reader of the Lightning asked Matt, why are there so few shade trees in parking lots? And he's got a pretty good answer from part of it. It's Hunter Marks is a landscape architect with his firm Watermark, who knows how to make a tree grow and what it takes to plant a tree and make it grow. And he said a lot of that has to do with compaction of the soil under the parking lot, lack of water, lack of maintenance, heat, and even shopping cart. And this was a really good quote here. You're putting trees in the middle of a battlefield. So he said, and then Matt does some pretty good reporting where he goes, with Google's help, our crack team of arborists surveyed the big box and grocery stores in the county and found the vast majority of them lacking shade trees. Trees that actually provide shade. We also found that most trees are planted in end caps where shade only benefits a few cars. So you can read more about that in the Ask Matt column. And the reason I said it's not is not certainly not unrelated to growth, because I noticed with that Duncan Hill, Signal Hill, North Main, and as you mentioned, further up the road, the Clear Creek development on either side of Clear Creek as it crosses I-26.
Right.
They didn't leave many trees in either one of those site prep jobs.
No, they didn't.
They
it looks
didn't
like the surface of the moon.
And there's always a lot of talk about the hundreds of trees that they're going to plant, and I'm sure they will, but that takes a while for that sapling to grow into a shade tree.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Interesting. Let's cover a couple more things here before we wrap up this week's Lightning Radio. Kids from here. We got a few kids to talk about this week.
We got two kids from here. One of our most popular stories, and our reporter, Amy B. McCraw, did a terrific job of interview of Clay Beal, rising senior at West Henderson High School, and his dad and his shop teacher, if they still call it shop. And he's the third best young cabinet maker in the United States of America, if you go by the Skills USA National Championships held in Atlanta. They get some tools. They get he competed against 30 other kids in making a cabinet. They get some tools. They're on a clock. They get some wood and other supplies. And they have to use the same that all of them. They have to trade the tools back and forth. It teaches cooperation and it teaches planning and it teaches time management. And then there's another part where they interview the kids, and the shop teacher said it's not just technical proficiency, it's are they well-rounded. They interview them, and then that's how he got this championship.
Interesting. I was wondering about that. I was hoping you would tell us a little bit more about that. So that's one kid from here, and we got another one?
Yeah, we got our friend from the PEO, the Philanthropic Educational Organization, the local chapter, Chapter H, sent us a nice news release and a picture of Ms. Allison Pridmore, the valedictorian of East Henderson High School right here in your neighborhood.
Yep.
That she received the prestigious STAR scholarship of $2,500 from the PEO. But what really caught our attention is, in addition to that, she also received the James P. Gray Scholarship from the Community Foundation of Henderson County, the Mickey Marvin Athletic Scholarship, which is also a pretty big one, the Athletic Scholar Award for her softball playing at East Henderson High School, and a Covenant grant from UNC at Chapel Hill, where she is headed in the fall to start her major in, wait for it, biomedical engineering.
Yep, she's a very well-spoken young lady. I got to interview her in our valedictorian interviews this year. Incredibly well-spoken.
She is another kid from here,
another,
and one to watch.
Absolutely, Bill. Let's settle it up today with the Tin Can Man premiere, the movie that's coming out. You had an opportunity to speak with the director.
Absolutely. The conceiver, the producer, the director, and the writer of Tin Can Man, which premieres Friday night, August 5th, at the newly renovated, freshly renovated Hendersonville High School Auditorium.
Uh-huh.
And so we got an interview to set this story up, a little bit of a curtain raiser here. And we asked Mr. Keith Dunavant, so what makes this a special story? First of all, the fact that they're an underdog team on two levels. They voluntarily moved up from 2A to 3A, which is a big deal. And also the fact they're a pretty small team compared to a lot of those guys, including Pinecrest, which just towered over them in that championship game. And then Mr. Dunavant goes on. Of course, the thing that makes it culturally relevant is that this coincides with when Coach Jim Pardue started four African-Americans for the first time at a time when it was just a natural transition, he says, for the town, both in sports and in culture, in desegregation, and the whole town really, Bearcat Nation, rallying behind this 1972 state basketball champion team.
Yeah, I hear that story. It kind of reminds me of the 83 Wolfpack basketball team, NC State, that ended up in the championship against Houston, and those guys were just towering over them. But then won.
And,
so.
Yeah, and the final shot was about 3 feet.
Yeah.
Short of the hoop, and Lorenzo Charles, rebounded,
right,
and made the putback, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It certainly, NC State was a major underdog to Houston in that game, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Hendersonville, I think, would have been, for anybody watching or handicapping that game against Pinecrest, would have put them in the very much underdog,
right,
role.
Right, absolutely.
They were Bearcats, but they were the underdog Bearcats.
The underdog Bearcats, absolutely. So when is that, again, when is that premiere?
Friday night. It is, that's going to be Friday night, August, what did I say, 5?
Yeah. August 5, in the newly renovated.
Reception beginning at 6:30.
Excellent.
Film premieres at 7:30 with a roundtable Q&A with Keith and the basketball players. Some reception. Tickets are $50, and they support Boys and Girls Club.
Awesome.
Purchase ticket, visit BGC, Boys and Girls Club, HendersonCo.org, or call a phone number that you can get when you pick up your Lightning, or check this story out on HendersonvilleLightning.com.
Thank you, Bill. Where can people pick up their copy of the Lightning? There's still plenty more news in it.
Yes, there is. We didn't get to it all. All around the county at Lightning Orange Racks, or by visiting dealer partners as well, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com to click on subscribe and grow and join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also easy as pie. Call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.
Hi, folks.